We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
As a team, I can tell you, we don't really care about the primetime this or the primetime that. We're just happy we're playing. Glad we're getting the game in. You know, we got the defending Super Bowl champ coming into our place, so we got to be prepared. They're chomping at the bit, too, I'm sure, coming off a loss as we are, and both teams obviously want to get out there and go redeem themselves for the last game. So we understand that, and we gotta go out there and put our best foot forward.
Hang on. There we go. That is Josh Allen from his Zoom call as the Bills held a few of those yesterday after practice. Players getting ready for the Kansas City Chiefs Monday. Quick check of the weather. I think cloudy and mid-50s, like 20% chance of rain. So a good late afternoon, evening in terms of the weather forecast at this point for Monday's game in Orchard Park. Thanks for hanging out with us on Football Friday, 803-0550 to join us. Going to get some calls, 888-552-550.
And we'll get you what I teased
flexing
also.
Flexing the schedule, too.
Yeah.
Flexing. I like flexing.
So we spent a good part of last hour looking ahead to the Patriot game. You know, like that weekend,
yeah,
the
sorry
Sunday
about
night
that.
Game.
I mean, just,
that's
just,
okay.
Mind is
we did it. That weekend, the Sunday night game is Cowboys-Eagles.
Ooh.
You know, the Cowboys aren't the same without Dak.
You know, it's funny. You're right. Right? They're still Dallas. Right? They're still the draw.
They are. They are.
No Dak.
So I don't know that the Bills and Patriots would be flexed into Sunday night, but just wanted to bring that up. That's not, you know, it's Cowboys-Eagles. It's 2-3 versus 1-3-1. It is Dallas. I mean, Dallas is going to be there.
Yeah,
and Dalton's not, you know, it's not like.
He's not, but he's not Dak.
But he's not Jeff Driscoll.
No,
starting.
I know. But I think at least it's. I think it's a more serious discussion point without Prescott.
I do, too. I do, too. I'm not sure how much.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I just wanted to bring that up because, you know, the league is changing all the time. That's why you pick the Bills once a week. I went through the rest of the schedule to see, like, all right, well, where could the Bills be moved again?
Yeah.
Again, of course, we've got plenty of opportunity for, like, COVID move.
Right.
Who knows if the Colts are going to play on Tuesday this week? I mean,
yeah, they
it.
Can't add any more games Monday unless they want a triple header. Right?
Yeah.
Two. Yeah, I was going to use that. Yeah, 5 and 8:15. Unless you have a team. No, there's no West Coast team involved because I guess in theory you could play like an 8:15 out west, 11:15 back east, but nobody be watching in the east. So yeah, maybe another week of Tuesday night football. Are there any other games you think that could be flexed on the Bills schedule? You said you looked at the rest of them.
I mean, what would you say? Like you'd say maybe Seattle. Seattle is what week?
November 8th is
Right. It's after the Patriot game. So Bills Seahawks is week 9, and the Sunday night game there is Saints Bucks. That's going to be another Brady breeze. They're not getting rid of that.
And they already got okay. So Pittsburgh's a night game. San Francisco's a night game. I don't think Arizona's flexed. Denver's not flexed.
Nope.
Denver actually might be. We don't know about the game time. Miami Jets. Who else are we missing? Chargers probably not flexed.
Nope.
That's it, right?
So I feel like
Seattle would be
your last real good look is that Patriots game in terms of getting moved.
Dallas Eagles, yeah, right.
Anyway.
Interesting. All right, let me grab some calls, too. It is Football Friday. We always love hearing from you. 803-0550. Mike and Cheektowaga, you're on WGR. Go right ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
I'm not devastated that the Bills didn't get Le'Veon Bell because I think their needs to add it before the trade deadline would be on the defensive end. I saw Bill Barnwell on ESPN have like about 10 or 12 different trade scenarios, none of which included the Bills. And I would think with the way the team has gone this year that Brandon Bean would be out, on the lookout for either linebacker or help up the middle. What do you think?
I was thinking he wouldn't be a bad idea to look at cornerback. You can name an area on the defense and make a legit case. I don't think they'll go after anybody on the defensive line, But their linebackers, and I keep thinking about cornerback. I know they just brought Lafayette Pitts back to the practice squad. Maybe Levi Wallace gets back. I think he's, what has he got, missed two more games, I think, on IR. But I would be thinking about looking for a veteran cornerback, especially if Josh Norman struggles. He's got a good game and a bad game. So I'm, and Taron Johnson has been having some problems in the slot. I would be pursuing that. I don't think they'll look at defensive line. I think they feel good about the guys they have. So I would think corner. And I know you brought up linebacker because of the Milano injury situation. Do you think anything else you'd be looking for by the trade deadline for the Bills? I don't think they're going to look on offense. I know you asked me about tight end yesterday. You don't think they would pursue that, do you?
Who's that, the Bills?
Yeah.
Pursue
a tight end by the trade deadline? Anything on offensive side of the ball?
I don't think so.
Somebody tweeted earlier about line, but or called about line. I don't know that they would do that either. I think they're trying to get the guys they have. They hope to get Feliciano back, and I think they're trying to get some kind of cohesion from the eventually the five guys they feel are the best five guys to play.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the deadline is always funny because, you know, there are glaring needs. There's which team wants to sell off a piece. It's not as clear as it is in maybe hockey. We're more used to the hockey deadline where a team would say we're out of it. On November 8th, especially with an added playoff spot, right, more teams are going to try and make it.
Yeah.
The in the hunt, boy, if you liked in the hunt
before. Oh, my goodness, I didn't even think about that.
Everybody's going to be in the hunt.
Oh, my Lord, that screen is going to be full.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never thought about that. That's funny. We don't get to that until, like, Thanksgiving-ish, I believe.
Yeah.
Hey, do you think we talked a little bit about Josh Allen and his running. Do you think they should be running him more?
Yeah, sure. I do, actually. Why not, right? He's great at it. Keeps defenses honest. Yeah.
Do you think they either someone told Dable less design runs, or do you think they got into Josh's head and said, please don't run unless it's absolutely unbelievably necessary?
Well, there's two things. He could be hurt.
Left shoulder, they want to expose him, yeah.
Right, he can still throw, mm-hmm. and the left shoulder might not be 100%, and maybe they're trying to protect him that way. He did scramble, and you're never, you know, scramble is different. I don't know. You would the way they ran him so much in the opener,
mm-hmm.
and to go from that all the way to not at all is a pretty big move.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you could say that's entirely matchup driven. Well, you know, in the next couple weeks, I guess we'll see if that's matchup driven or if that's a thing where he's not going to run it anymore. But I mean, I'd want him on the move.
Yeah. I thought, yeah, maybe it is. It's I not that I forgot about the shoulder injury, but it made me think about the, was it the John Brown play? Wouldn't that have been in the Raiders game where they it was a touchdown, they rule it down at the one, they sneak Josh Allen, and I'm thinking, oh, great, now they got to sneak Josh Allen and his shoulder could be exposed. So that might be as simple as that, but it is a stark difference. You know, I mean, you mentioned matchup specific. This is four games now since they ran all those plays with Josh, and it wasn't all just scrambles against the Jets, you know, it was some design runs. This is four games now that the run, the number of carries are significantly different from opening week. 4-4-3-4, the last 4 weeks after 14 carries opening week. So I wonder, yeah, I that's why it made me think, you know, the runs that dropped before the shoulder injury against the Raiders. It was down against Miami, a team who historically he's had great success running against, and it was down against the Rams. And maybe it wasn't as big a deal. I mean, that first half they played almost as perfect the first half you could play of offensive football. And then the Raiders game does include the injury, but I think before that there was some, I don't know if there's an edict that was handed to Dable or if the Bills said to Josh, listen, we're not telling you to never use your legs, but you know, we really don't want to expose you to injury, so we're going to reduce the number of design runs when you have to scramble, so be it. But I wonder if they did get to him and say, prefer you not to go downfield and put yourself in harm's way. And I don't, and again, I don't think this is a reaction to like Dak Prescott. I mean, guys get hurt, you know, you can get hurt in the pocket. You can get hurt,
yep,
standing back there, throwing the football, a guy goes low, collapses your leg and your knee blows up. So I don't think it's that, but I it just seems like a very night and day difference after week one.
The question is, what kind of challenge do the Chiefs pose
yeah.
with this? Tyrann Mathieu. I mean, there's a hell of a player, right? They've got him.
And I'm trying to, I should look up. I wonder, it wouldn't have been an issue when they played New England. They weren't worried about Stidham or Hoyer running. Derek Carr is not a huge running quarterback. I wonder what they did. I got to look up and see what Russell Wilson did. How many times he carried, whether that was a big problem for Kansas City, because the last two games they've had, you wouldn't really be worried about, a quarterback beating you with his legs by design plays, scrambles, getting to the edge, whatever. The things that Josh Allen can do, they didn't really worry about their last two opponents.
Yeah. I wonder if the Bills will be able to throw on this team. I think they will. Are you expecting a shootout?
I am.
Yeah.
I think if the Bills are going to win, one of the things I was going to bring up with you on Monday, what's the point total? How many points will it take to beat Kansas City on Monday? And to me, go ahead. I'm
thinking. Sign up for a number of points right now. The lowest number you would take.
Oh, okay.
And think you'll be happy with the offense. You say if they score X number of points, I promise I will not be upset with the offense.
Win or lose. This is just regardless of the
result. Win or lose, the number of points where you will not be upset with the offense. I mean, we're not counting they get a pick six or a fumble.
Yeah. Recovery. No, they're produced touchdowns. No kick.
The offense puts up how many points?
Oh, that is – boy, can I think about it for 15 seconds? I got to think about that.
I have the same answer almost every week for that.
What, like 30?
30. The answer is 30, yeah.
I think
you score 30 – I'm not going to be upset about it. I mean, I might still ask for more.
Yeah, I think you're going to need more.
If the Bills lose 35-31 to the Chiefs,
yep.
Am I going to be really upset?
That's funny.
It's 30. The number is 30. There are seven teams in the league as of last week that were averaging 30 points a game. Yeah. I want to be one of those teams.
Can I give you two different answers? I suppose that wouldn't make sense. Honestly, my thought to the first question I was going to ask you Monday, how many points do you think it'll take to beat Kansas City? To me, I was thinking you got to get to 34. You got to get to maybe the mid 30s in this game, because I don't have a lot of faith in the defense right now to stop Patrick Mahomes on Monday. A little better if Milano and White play. So I was thinking 34. And then for some reason, your question, you're okay if they get two. I don't know why, but I thought 28, which doesn't make sense because it's a different answer than my original one.
Right.
Really doesn't make – I'm strange. But, yeah, I would say you to win this game, I'm pretty sure you're going to have to get to 30.
Maybe there's a different way to ask it. Instead of saying what point total do you need from the offense, ready? Give me a point total the defense can surrender, and you say, all right, boys, it's on you to the offense.
27-28, Matt.
27-28
would be my number.
Right, and that's why 30 is good for me. It's kind of the same question, just asked a different way. If you hold the Chiefs to 28, I might, where do I sign?
Right now,
where do I sign? I think the Bills can get 30.
Yeah, I don't, boy, that's...
It's a big number.
It is, but
those are numbers in the league these days.
Yeah, and again, it's... a lot of this does circle back to whether Milano and White are playing. If Milano and Trey White are playing, the Bills have a better shot. I'm looking at Kansas City's schedule. 34 points, 23 points, 34, 26, although that was New England and they had one touchdown in three quarters, and then 32. So the lowest scoring game they had was 23, which included an overtime touchdown in their win over the Chargers.
Chargers.
Man, I think you've got to be thinking about at least 30 points in this game.
Yeah, if you hold the Chiefs to 23 and don't win,
I'd be really disappointed.
You're going to be steamed at the offense.
That's great. I love the what number is good from the defense, and that's why I said I think 28. You give me 23, I'm going to tell you I feel the Bills are going to win this football game. I don't think this is a 23-20, 23-17. They're going to have to get to 30. If Milano and White don't play, they might have to get to 40.
The implied score from the point spread and the over-under. So the over-under is 57.5.
Yeah.
And hold on, I got to do the math here.
30 to 27. 27.
It's 31-27.
Mm-hmm.
So there's your number. Can you hold them
to 27
to 28
under 30. Yeah.
And get that field goal?
Boy, I need Matt Milano and Trey White to play Monday and be as close to full strength as humanly possible.
You're going
to
set up a daily fantasy account and get Travis Kelce, right? You're just going to play daily for the first time. You're going to get a DraftKings lineup and just enter Kelce in. Like Jonnu Smith, just like Mike Gesicki. The Bills have been chewed up by tight ends as much as almost any team in the league in part because of the absences at middle linebacker.
In fact, sir.
At middle, just not just middle linebacker, but Milano too, of course.
Bonus stat for you today. I have a Brown stat for stat of the day later, so I'll make this a bonus stat. Speaking of the middle of the field, remember I mentioned that article at ESPN.com, Aaron Schatz, Football Outsider, surprising stats for each team. He had a number for the Bills. We talked earlier about the running issues and the run blocking. But in his write-up on the Bills' defense, they do rank third in pass rush win rate, even though they're not getting a ton of sacks.
Isn't that mind-blowing? Like,
right?
How?
Yeah.
How?
So his point is, it's the back seven. Like, their passing problems are not the front line because they rank third in pass rush win rate. Middle of the field. Their DVOA against passes in the middle of the field. Where do you think they rank?
I'm going to say dead last.
Close. 30th.
Yeah.
Middle of the field. And again, we're talking about Milano has missed a couple games or one plus, and Edmonds isn't completely healthy. So the win rate on the pass rush, not bad. So that's his point. Guys, it's not necessarily the line. They're getting chewed up in the middle of the field. And what do we always talk about? The Bills don't give up deep balls. They're really good at that. They're 25th against deep passes after ranking second last year. So his point is it's the back seven.
You want a real quick trade scenario?
Yeah.
We're talking trades. And a texter writes in, how about Todd Gurley?
Where is he now? Atlanta?
Atlanta. Atlanta seems to be cleaning house. The Bills making it known they're trying to upgrade at the running back position.
Yeah.
Texter writes in, how about Todd Gurley?
He's cheap, right? He wouldn't have gotten a big contract from Atlanta, right? He probably came on the cheap, I assume. Mm. Or do they inherit? I'm trying to remember what his contract status was.
He wasn't traded, so he signed.
Okay, so he's got a one-year deal, I think, in Atlanta. Oh my, one-year deal for $3.5 million. That's like chicken feed. He's not Le'Veon Bell. I mean, with Gurley, you'd be talking about a lot of injury issues, and his numbers really came down.
He's doing well this year.
Bell was still good. The Jets killed Le'Veon Bell.
That's true, but I mean, Bell was really good 3 years ago, and Gurley is doing well.
Is he better this year? Well,
yeah,
it's low risk.
Well, this year,
it's a one-year deal at 3.5, so it's very low risk. I assume you're not going to have to give up like a high pick for him. Maybe it's a conditional pick. Yeah, I'd be interested in making that call, see what Atlanta wants. What do they want? Tell me what they want.
I don't know.
It's worth a call. Yeah. I guess I would tell you it comes down to what are they looking for in return. Because the contract's not bad at all.
I mean, yeah, Gurley's this year having a better year than he did last year with the Rams.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, his role with the Rams, that was, in addition to the injuries, it was very confusing. In terms of what the Rams were doing with him the last couple of years, speaking of Bell and the Jets. 803-0550 to join us on Football Friday for your Bills questions, comments, opinions. Murph coming up in a moment. Scaff at the top of the hour on WGR.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
They're going to go a long ways, and Josh Allen's a big part of it. And he's tough as can be, and he never points a finger, and the players love playing with him. And they play more four wide receivers than any team in the league, more 10 personnel than anybody. And they put it on him, you know, to execute. They dress six wide receivers, and they all get it. It's an aerial circus, and he loves kind of being at the forefront of it. Everybody's getting fed. What Cole Beasley did in that second half, he can't ask for anything more. There's nothing I don't like about this quarterback. Nothing.
That is Radio.com NFL insider Brian Baldinger, who was on One Bills Live. If you missed the interview, it's available on on-demand audio at WGR550.com. Before we get to the Bills news, the news of the morning in the NFL comes from Indianapolis. The Colts this morning released a statement that said they have had several individuals test positive for COVID. They have closed the facility today. They're working remotely, and they are in the process of confirming those tests that have come back positive. The Colts are supposed to play Sunday against the Cincinnati Bengals. Right now, the game is still on. Same deal for Atlanta. You know, the Falcons shut their facility down yesterday after they had a positive test, not from a player. And their game with Minnesota for Sunday is still on at this point. The Bills, of course, playing the Chiefs Monday. You know that. Injury report, it was a jog-through practice yesterday. Dawson Knox did not work out. on a limited basis, working out, were both Matt Milano and Trey White. Mark Polenkar, the Erie County executive, says does not foresee fans at Bills home games in the foreseeable future. And Le'Veon Bell picked the Chiefs over the Bills and the Dolphins, signed a one-year contract with Kansas City. If you're wondering about Monday, he will not be eligible to play on Monday. He's got to go through 5 days of negative tests just to get into the Chiefs facility. Houston beat Tampa. The Rays lead that series 3-2. Atlanta beat the Dodgers. Braves are up 3-1. Ty Lue is the new coach of the L.A. Clippers. Those are your headlines. Election Day 2020 is quickly approaching. Are you registered and ready to vote? Early voting begins October 24th. Absentee ballots must be requested by October 27th. Complete details at elections.erie.gov. Vote, make it count, and get more info at vote411.org. You can call us on Football Friday at 803-0550. We have called Mr. John Murphy, and he's joining us right now on the Western Hotline. Good morning, Mr. Murphy. Happy Football Friday.
Good morning, Mr. Simon. Happy Football Friday to
you
as well.
Thank you very much. So I got a question for you, a philosophical question for you. I don't know if it's philosophical, but this is the question anyway. Off the first loss of the season, off a bummer of a night against Tennessee, do you like the idea of Kansas City being the next game on the schedule, or would you have preferred someone, say, like the Jets as the next game on the schedule?
The thing that makes it easier to swallow is that the Jets are coming fast. But, no, of course, I don't want to play Kansas City any day. You know, they're really good. I'm watching video the last couple of days. I mean, and I've obviously we've all seen them and seen they're on TV. This is the third of four straight weeks are on Monday Night Football, believe it or not. But their team speed is what really strikes me. You know, and it's not just a Tyreek Hill. It's everybody. You know, Edwards-Helaire is really fast. Mecole Hardman is really fast. The defense is really fast. I mean, their team speed is what jumps out at me. They're very talented guys, triggered by the best quarterback playing in the game right now. But they're really good. You don't want to if you can avoid them, you take that option. But the Bills can't, and it'll be a great test for Buffalo to be sure.
Did it make you feel any better? Two things. One, seeing what New England did to them, which was really tremendous, even though the Patriots lost the game because they had no Cam Newton and no offense. But they really did a job against them defensively. And I know it was a tale of two halves, but having watched a good chunk of the second half last week, the Raiders had a very effective game plan of just don't blitz Patrick Mahomes and drop as many guys into coverage, and they really limited the Chiefs in the second half in that game.
Yeah, there were some good things there. I mean, even in those two losses, though, or those two last two games, they put up 26 against New England and 32 against the Raiders. So Nobody's really figured out how to shut them down. And that's the thing, you know, they're fast and Mahomes, all right, so maybe you don't blitz them. You don't get them, you try to keep them in the pocket and make them make plays from there. Okay, that's one way to do it. But he's just really talented and got really talented receivers. And it's a really good offensive package they run too. You know, they know what they're doing offensively. They know what they want to do on offense. Bieniemy, the coordinator, is really good, and of course Andy Reid is solid too. I just think there's no good way to defend this team. And I think the Bills, I guess, if you're looking for silver linings here, the Bills are at least equipped, it would seem, to try to keep up with them offensively. You know, so if they hold them, if they have success like New England did, I guess, giving up 26 points. You know, this Buffalo team, you can see, well, they average 28 points a game, so they should be able to score 30. I think if there's a weak link to the Chiefs, it's defensively. You know, they're not real big. As I said, they're very fast, but they're not real stout. They're not real big, and maybe the Bills can try to keep up with them for most of them Monday night.
You stole my next question, Murph. What are you doing to me? Now I got to come up with another question because I as much as you talk about, you know, it's not exactly maybe a team you'd look forward to facing, finally – the Bills have an offense that you would look at it, and as much as people are nervous about the defense this week and then the matchup with Kansas City and their potent offense, I think if you're a Bills fan, at least you know, well, the Bills offense can keep up with Kansas City and maybe they can outscore them on Monday.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I think, the best route to victory for Buffalo, and it's not going to be an easy one at that. And by the way, you guys were talking about it earlier this week, and it's a really good point about the short fields the Buffalo defense surrendered Tuesday night against Tennessee. You know, the defense was not bludgeoned by the Tennessee Titans. They were on the field in very difficult situations several times, and the Titans got 21 points off turnovers. You know, the exact margin of victory. So, although they have a lot of holes to plug on defense and a lot of problems to fix, I don't think it's an absolute wasteland on defense for Buffalo. They can get better, and I think they will. But yeah, you want to try to outscore these guys if you're Buffalo. I talked about the Chiefs team speed. The Bills are pretty good at that too when they're all healthy, when John Brown's in the lineup especially. And I think the Bills, their best hope is to stay with these guys and, you know, see where they're at in the fourth quarter. Maybe they can get a late field goal or a late touchdown to win it.
One nice thing about this, Murph, I think just if you just look at it from the standpoint of being a fan of the NFL, you get to watch Patrick Mahomes. You get to watch him up close and personal because you'll be in the building. But you get to watch Patrick Mahomes, who is as must-watch as an NFL player comes.
Yeah, he's compelling, you know. And as good as Brady was during his entire career, I don't think Brady had the same must-see cachet that Patrick Mahomes has. You know, and it's because of the crazy plays that Mahomes is capable of. You know, he's kind of a creative thinker when it comes to figuring out ways to get the ball in his great playmakers' hands, and that's really fun to watch. And by all accounts, he's a great teammate and a good person, and a kind of a competitive guy. You know, with his background, his dad was a good baseball player, and he's an easy guy to root for. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to this, seeing Mahomes, you know, in person and seeing what he can do against the Bills on Monday.
And Murph, even though we were talking about, you know, you're probably going to need your offense to outscore Kansas City, the injury report is huge for this game. And we'll start, well, there are three big names to think about, right? Matt Milano, we just had a stat about how the Bills are near the bottom of the league in terms of middle-of-the-field defense. So you'd love to get Milano back. We just saw, without Trey White, it was not a pretty sight in Tennessee the other night. And even offensively, too. You know, Diggs still had a 100-yard game, but there was no question the job was easier for Tennessee without John Brown on the field. So three big names that to keep an eye on as we get closer to Monday.
Yeah, and they will require monitoring the next few days. I was out at the practice yesterday and watched the – you know, we get to watch the early stretch and the early individual workouts. And Brown looks fine. John Brown with his knee moving around fine. He made it through a practice on a full-time basis. The others look good. You know, I thought Tre'Davious White with kind of a weird harness around his upper body looked like he was moving fine. And Milano, although they were far down at the end of the field, Milano seemed to be moving well. He's got a pectoral muscle injury, so that wasn't a question of him moving wasn't up there. But all three of them, you know, Milano and Tre'Davious White were limited, but all three of them were back in the lineup. And look, those are three key players, both sides of the ball for the Buffalo Bills. You don't want to play anybody without them, and you certainly don't want to go up against Kansas City Chiefs without them.
Murph, the defense has been a big discussion point this week. What's ailing that unit at this point, in your opinion?
Well, again, I think they didn't collapse last Tuesday night. They weren't good, but it wasn't a total collapse because of the short fields. But mostly I think it's play up front, you know, the front four. And they got a heavy rotation of guys getting in there, but they need more production from them. And I think they lack a certain well, I don't know. I hear people talk about how they lack toughness. I think they lack stoutness. You know, they're not overly big up front. And I think, yes, they do miss Starlo Tulele for that reason in particular. But they need people who can eat up blockers, take up space, keep people off Tre'Davious or Tremaine Edmonds so that he can make plays. And the same for Milano to a certain extent. But I think it's all what's going on up front. I think in a general sense, they don't have a ton of depth in either linebacker or the defensive secondary right now. And so guys are learning how to play at linebacker and talking about Terrell Dotson most particularly and some of the corners, you know, they're getting their first taste of NFL action. So you don't want you don't want those depth players to be tested on a weekly basis. And that's kind of a bigger picture, but on a game to game basis, they just need to be bigger and stronger and stouter up front. I think that's the biggest problem they have on defense.
And one of the other main talking points this week, I think, has also been about the running game. And it can be two-pronged, the running backs and then even the reduced runs for Josh Allen in the last few games. But in generalities with the Bills' running game, is there anything you see there in terms of that might be explaining struggles? I know they're not running the ball as much as last year. They don't lean on it, but it has not been as productive for sure from Devin Singletary's standpoint.
No, I agree. And I think they're just trying to find themselves in the running game. And as they demonstrated through the first four games, they can succeed a great deal on offense without a dominant running game. But you'd like to get Singletary, you know, get him more involved and get him more productive runs. Like to get Zach Moss back. That would help, I think, a lot. And I think they're trying to find the right formula. And it's a game plan thing, too, but find the right formula and how and when to use Josh Allen in the running game. You know, they like to call more runs, I think, with Josh Allen. It's not a major flaw, but I think there is something they're trying to figure out on a week-to-week basis, and a lot of it has to do with how teams play them, you know, and maybe that's something they have to wait until they kick it off to decide if Josh Allen could have production running the ball. But it's definitely a work in progress. They got to get better at it.
All right, Murph, enjoy your weekend, another Sunday without Bills football, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Okay, thank you, Art.
John Murphy with us on the Western Hotline for his Football Friday segment, which was brought to you by M&T Bank, the official bank of Bills fans, by Dunn Tire, official tire of the Buffalo Bills, and also by Sullivan's Brewing Company, from Ireland to Buffalo, the best ales in the world. You can join us with your thoughts on the Bills in Kansas City or whatever else is on your mind this morning. It is M&T Bills Fan Football Friday. We love taking your calls, 803-0550 or 888-550-2550. We'll have SCAF coming up at the top of the hour. You do have another Sunday free of watching the Bills, so we'll find out what else is going on. Couple games, I don't know, do I say they're up in the air? They're still on, but we're still wondering about the COVID impact on Indy's game Sunday and Atlanta's game Sunday. We'll get you through week six. Top of the hour, WGR.
What's up, everyone? Just want everyone to know that I'm doing well, and I can't thank you enough for all your love, your support, your prayers. Over the last few days, they've been more than overwhelming, from teammates to family to friends, to fans I don't know, to former and current players around the league and players around all sports. I just wanted to say thank you. They're definitely appreciated and received well. So just knowing that I have that much love and support out there makes a huge difference. In great spirits, headed to see the doctor, headed to see my leg for the first time post-surgery. So just ready to start this road to comeback. I know this little adversity is just going to be another chapter in the book. I'm excited to move forward and write it. Just once again, can't thank you all enough for your love and your support through it all. But I'm in great spirits. I'm going to stay that way.
Dak Prescott out for the year. Bummer for him, and what a story that was over the weekend, right? Last weekend?
Yeah.
The injury to Prescott. Our smoking story of the week, Dak.
Brought to you by Heron's Landing. Why would you want to pay more? And, yeah, the ramifications of that short term on the Cowboys and their season, which wasn't really going well, although it wasn't Dak Prescott's fault that their defense is horrific. But what Andy Dalton can do, can you stay in the race? I'm going to go yes, by the way. That's less of my faith in Andy Dalton, who we still root for,
and
more about that division and the Eagles basically being the only shot at beating out Dallas. You could easily still win that division with Andy Dalton because it stinks.
I'd like to play a This Day in History game with you.
Oh, good, because there is a big event that happened on this day in history.
How far back?
51 years.
Okay, good. You can have that one, and then we'll play the game for the one that happened not that long ago.
On this day, 51 years ago, the amazing Mets won the 1969 World Series, Game 5, Shea Stadium, over the heavily favored Baltimore Orioles on a fly ball last out of the game to Cleon Jones in left field, who went down on one knee while he made the catch, and then all hell broke loose as fans streamed onto the field and ripped apart the field at Shea Stadium in celebration.
All right.
Yay
like,
for the Mets.
Like fun.
I wasn't watching the game at the time. I'm pretty sure I was seven.
Sounds like you were there.
No, I didn't really give a crap. I was seven, and I'm telling you, I didn't care. I was probably playing with my toys at that point. Anyway.
The Mets hadn't ruined your life yet?
Not yet. I didn't. No, actually, I thought, oh, this baseball team in town, I should root for them. They're good. Look, they win championships. I'll be a Mets fan.
All right. Well, this day in history. Brayton, I sent you the clip so you can play it when Howard gets this right.
Okay.
Oh, here's my clue.
If I get it right.
We've talked about it. We're on baseball, right?
Yeah.
Baseball is this time of year, this day in history. Mm-hmm. We played the Bautista bat flip was 2 days ago.
Yeah.
This day in history in baseball is a remember where I was when it happened. It is one of the biggest, most iconic plays. It's not Gibson. Maybe doesn't get the Gibson treatment, but man, it does. Iconic moment
in World Series history.
I did not say it was World Series history.
Oh, is this the Derek Jeter play against the A's?
It is not Derek Jeter, but you're getting warmer.
It involves the Yankees?
It does involve the Yankees.
A play made by the Yankees?
Yes, a play that would have made you very mad.
Oh, no, 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 no. No, you said it's not the World Series, right? It's not the Clemens Piazza game, then.
It is not the Clemens Piazza game.
Play with the Yankees that would have
made me
mad.
It is remember where I was. I was with, I believe I was with Brad and Bulldog at a local establishment that is no longer where it is.
Okay, well you're too old for Bucky Bleeping Dent, so it's got to be Aaron Bleeping Boone.
Aaron freaking Boone.
Ugh. Ugh.
Yeah. So that's in the bottom of the 11th. Wakefield's on the mound.
Tim Wakefield.
And I can remember, you know, it's extra innings, and you get to that feeling like, all right, boys, we might be here for a while, you know? Like, this game, it cracked up. Nope. All right, let's all go home.
How about the same franchise against the same opponent in the postseason has at least three bleeping moments? For older people, Bucky Dent. You just played Aaron Boone, and then whatever game it was, they left Pedro Martinez in too long, and he falls apart, and they blow that game. Ugh. Aaron bleeping Boone.
Yeah, but for Red Sox fans now, I mean, you won a ton of World Series. Who cares, right?
I don't think they – it's not like they freak out over that anymore.
Aaron Boone.
Aaron bleeping Boone.
Game 7 ALCS.
Oh, that was so depressing.
Extra innings.
So depressing. Yeah, I wouldn't have been. I was watching that at home. I don't even know if I was hunkered down in the man cave, but I would have been watching that at home, and that would have been so. I can't tell you. I was rooting so hard for the Rays.
Oh,
I just,
the Red Sox.
No, this year.
Oh,
like,
this
I just
year.
I cannot handle the Yankees in the playoffs.
Oh, okay, right.
The idea of, when the Yankees win a playoff series, it really. It so depresses me. I could not have handled the Yankees in the World Series this year. I mean, they're, you know, more often than not, it's just in the Yankees are good.
Who do you want to win the World Series now of these four teams that's left?
Forfeit.
Yeah.
I would say Tampa. By default, Tampa Bay. You know, and they've never, right? They've never won. They lost to the Phillies the one time they were in the series. Although then it does lead to the discussion of, hey, they just got a cup. Should their fan base get two championships that close? But yeah. I don't like the Dodgers. Nobody wants the Astros. And I've never really despised the Braves. So they would be my second choice. But I guess Tampa first, Atlanta second, and then I could care less about the other two teams. Mm. I was even thinking, you know, Boston would have had a year, right, recently where they would have won three of the four major titles in the same calendar year. I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Patriots, Red Sox, and there would have been one year, whether it was the Bruins in 2011? No, I'm trying to remember. I feel like New England, that Boston had a year where they won three of the four titles in their respective seasons in the same year, right?
2008 or
Celtics? Was it when the Celtics won?
Celtics won in 08.
Patriots?
Patriots, I think, were that was the year after their perfect season. Or not perfect, but...
Yeah, they're near unbeaten season.
Yeah.
See, I thought they had three of their teams as reigning champions at the same time.
The Bruins won in 2011.
I just don't recognize any Boston championships.
Well, there's been a lot to not
recognize. Whatever you guys are talking about, I don't know anything about it.
Wasn't it 07 the Patriots made it to the Super Bowl and lost, and then 11 they made it to the Super Bowl and lost?
I got to look this up.
Look it up. Let's talk football on the other side. We've got Scaff coming.
Scaff and Week 6. We'll get into all of those matchups. 803-0550 to join us. You are listening to M&T Bills Fan Football Friday. Are you the biggest Bills fan? Tweet us your video at WGR550. Use the hashtag community of Bills fans to be M&T's Bills Fan of the Week. M&T Bank, the official bank of your Buffalo Bills.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.